board.
Across the board.
Across the board.
All across the board.
Across the board.
Yeah. Okay, listen. We got three things to talk about mainly. If you guys want to throw out other topics, go ahead. But the first one we're going to tackle is we haven't done a podcast since Kobe Bryant died. Nope. So rest in peace to Kobe. We're going to talk about Kobe for a little bit. So you guys go ahead. Start about what Kobe meant to you or just stuff that has happened over the past week and a half, 2 weeks or whatever it's been since Kobe's passed. That's affected you.
Dude, it's been nuts, man. Like, I just remember, like, I remember this, I think it was ESPN saying, like, you are going to remember where you were at the day that Kobe Bryant died. Yeah. I was just like, it's just like, damn, like, I really am. Like, I was chilling with Tori, and you just sent that text from, I don't even know whose Twitter it was from. And I was just like,
it was the TMZ Sports. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, nah. And I looked up, like, Kobe Bryant, and then there's, like, all the shit about, like, last night and him and LeBron. Yeah. And I was like, Kobe's fine. I was like, he'll be all right. And then, like, literally, like, 5 minutes later, it's just, like, flooding that Kobe Bryant has died in a helicopter crash. And it's just, seeing it was just like, whoa, man. And it didn't dawn on me to think about how much, like, Kobe was in, like, my everyday life. But, like, how much, like, I think I brought up that man's name in my livelihood is just so many times. Like, it's crazy to think about how he affected me with not me even being a Lakers fan or even that hard of, like, a basketball fan. Like, he changed something in my life. It's crazy. I don't know, man. I was at a loss of words when it happened. It was bad.
Yeah. I have a different kind of relationship with Kobe than I think a lot of people do. Maybe, I mean, I might have similar relationship with other people, but I never looked up to Kobe as like this is my, like, idol. I was the LeBron James kind of generation. I always looked at Kobe as almost like a supervillain, really. Like, I didn't say that, but I hated Kobe Bryant because how great he made the Lakers. Like, it felt like the Lakers were always in the finals. Like,
right.
Because they played Boston twice and they played Orlando. And, like, when I was growing up, that's when I was first starting to watch basketball. Then I was, like, watching the Cavs go and they got swept by the Spurs and stuff like that. But I'd always see the Lakers. The Lakers are always in the playoffs no matter what. And no matter who was on their team. And even back then, I didn't think they had a great team.
Well, they didn't.
I mean, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, look, Andrew Bynum out the league, Pau Gasol out the league. I mean, like, but, like, after, like, Powell's, they
look, I like Pau was their second best player.
Yeah. Anyways. But, like, that the teams that he took to the finals weren't good. And I feel like a lot of people kind of overlook that because how good Kobe made them. And I didn't really realize how much I appreciated Kobe to basketball until he was gone. And I felt really bad about that. And I think that's where a lot of my mourning came from, was like I didn't appreciate how great Kobe was. He was not only just, like, a fantastic basketball player, but then to find out after, like, how great of a dad he was and how, like, important his kids were to him, I just was like, damn, like, he was a great dude. And it hit me weirdly. I didn't expect to be affected by it at all, really. But I was like, wow, like, this is insane.
And Kobe, I feel like Kobe almost lived in, like, certain, like, as weird as it say, I don't get into, like, how Kobe did a lot of stuff for the arts in terms of sports, but it almost felt like he lived his life in a few acts. Like, it was, you know, because it's the beginning Kobe, it's the number 8, and then it was the number 24, and it felt like two very different Kobes. And then we got to see his life after basketball for just a little bit. But, like, yeah, growing up, I mean, I was a 76ers fan because of Allen Iverson. So yeah. Kobe, he destroyed my childhood dream of ever seeing AI win a title. There was the one chance that he had, and Sixers took one game. And then Lakers dominated. That.
Sorry, that was a TikTok. My bad. It was a TikTok. My bad. Sorry.
You good?
Yep. I'll get off my phone.
My man threw his phone down. Like, he opened up his porn browser, bro.
That's almost worse when you open up a TikTok. Yeah, it's worse than porn.
I think it might be worse opening up a TikTok.
I fuck with TikTok.
Yeah.
I kind of do, too. It's kind of funny.
No, it depends. Like it. I like it.
It depends.
There's a new app called Byte where they're trying to, like, recreate Vine.
Yeah.
It's not doing as well, but I like TikTok.
I think TikTok has already recreated Vine.
But it's a lot.
Okay, we're getting way
anyways,
off.
Yeah, anyway. Let's stand Kobe. So yeah, I think that Kobe, like throughout my childhood, he destroyed my dreams, and then I was never a Lakers fan. I always rooted against the Lakers because I think it's a very like Midwest thing. Like,
oh yeah,
if you come from the Midwest, you're not gonna root for like the glitzy glam teams. But and I was always like I love Shaq. So like when that rift happened, I was always on Shaq's side.
I was always on Shaq's side. I was like, you know, if like fuck Kobe.
Well, I wasn't ever like fuck Kobe, but I was just like I just always loved Shaq. But then we got to see, I think I really started to appreciate Kobe before he retired, just a few years before the retirement happened when he tore his ACL and then came back out, shot the free throws, and like just then when he started to, you could see him teaching the guys in the Team USA stuff. So like that 24 Kobe, that's how I remember Kobe's 24. I don't remember, I mean, I do remember him being number 8 and everything, but I have more fond memories of him being 24 and mentoring the Team USA guys, mentoring LeBron, mentoring D Wade, mentoring all those guys, and then going and seeing that he's mentoring Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum and all of those guys. And you could see how much of a teacher he had become.
Yeah.
And then he gets out of basketball, has the great retirement year, the final game, which like I remember even in the moment people were complaining about because he was just taking every shot. And I thought it was amazing because it was just like, yo, just let this dude ball
right,
in his last game. And it was cool that the Lakers let him do that.
Yeah.
And because he legit took like 50 shots. And it was phenomenal. Like he was like 24 of, or I don't even know if it was 24 because then that would be irony. But he was like 24 of 50. Like he didn't even have like a great shooting percentage, but it was just like, who cares, right? It's Kobe's night. And then he got into the arts and he got into doing, and he like talked about wanting to get an EGOT. And I thought that was super cool as I got into acting. I got into the arts and I was such a big sports fan that it almost felt like there was somebody else to talk about that. And Kobe was super huge with the WNBA, which he really helped me get into the WNBA. He was really big into soccer. That helped me get into soccer. I don't know if I would have gotten into soccer as much as I did without there being a prominent NBA player, a prominent sports guy talking about his love for it. Because when I first got into soccer, one of the only things I knew was Kobe Bryant's AC Milan fan. That's all I knew. So I think that, and I posted this on like my Instagram, but like when I go travel, like I have to give a little bit of that. Like I owe a little bit of that to Kobe. Because when I go travel and go talk about sports in different countries, I don't know if that would have happened without Kobe. So I feel like I owe a little bit of that to him, even though he took my championship away that I could have won.
But you could have won?
Yeah, I would have been part of that. They would have sent me a ring. AI would have called me, FaceTime me, even though it was 2001 and there was no FaceTime. But then you got to see him talking with his daughters and teaching Gianna, and Gianna wanted to go to UConn. And I mean, that's also another thing that we got to talk about is like, he lost his daughter in the family lost their daughter in the crash, which is just insane. And the 7 other people that were lost, just there's no good way of like trying to spin this or anything. No. It just sucks.
Yeah, no,
it just absolutely sucks.
Yeah, I think like even though like the other losses didn't affect like our community personally, it still affected the community that those people obviously touch. And a lot of people like these were just, they weren't just regular people, you know? I mean, not saying that regular people don't matter, but I mean, you don't compare to some people.
But they impacted the community more.
They were very important to their community. Yeah. And like, it just sucks to see something like that happen, especially when like it was a normal day. It wasn't like, you know, they were going across the country or anything.
It was the Pro Bowl. Like,
they weren't going to their Pro Bowl.
I know, but like the Pro Bowl was happening.
Right. Yeah, right.
Like, you weren't expecting anything like that to happen.
And it was a Sunday too. That is the thing. Like Sundays aren't like when news like that breaks on a Sunday, like the whole rest of the week is just completely different. And like I was getting into the shower when like that happened. And I was like, okay, like I have to see like how like real, like I wasn't even worried about, I was in the shower just like refreshing my phone. Seeing as like, it's like, there's nothing about this Kobe thing. Because TMZ reported it, and all it was Kobe passed LeBron. Kobe passed LeBron. That was it. Or LeBron passed Kobe, other way around. Sorry. Yeah. Then more like news sources came out and they kept coming and it kept changing and everything like that. And like TMZ reported that it was just Kobe and other people. There's none of his daughters were
like, yeah, it was like three other people.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And it just kept growing and it was just a botched job by TMZ.
It was a botched job by a lot of journalists. And I think that was a sad thing to see because it's weird as I'm in my final semesters of Ohio State and like learning how important reporting true journalism is. I remember talking to Vince Doria, who is the former vice president of ESPN, two semesters ago. And one of my main questions to him was like, I just got to have like a very candid sit down. It was just a few students and talking to him. And I got to like pick his brain on what's important to ESPN. Even though he's gone, I still feel like ESPN still holds very similar values. I mean, he only left in like 2016. And I think that for a lot of journalists, it is, and I can sympathize a little bit, but not too much, of like, it's important to be the first person to report something. That's great if you have everything. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, it is okay to not be the first person. And it's much better to be right than to be first. And that is something that I asked him. And that's he had talked about, hey, look, we have sources. We have all these people so that we usually are the first people out. If we're not, it's not a big deal. Like, and I think that so many journalists and I think that like ABC and all of them and TMZ, they got caught up because even TMZ was reporting that like all five girls might be on this right, stuff. Yeah. And like, don't report when you're like, it might be. You don't need to report that. You don't need to be the first person to bring out information that it might be all five girls. Like, that's irresponsible reporting. And it was sad to see that because, like, I think that was, like, an L for journalists. Like, oh, yeah. We took that as, like, I shouldn't even say we because I'm not a real journalist yet. But, like, that was a bad look for us.
Yeah.
I think it was just because like it was Kobe Bryant. Absolutely. People were like shuffling and like rushing to get like that story out because they're just like Kobe Bryant.
And as bad as it sounds, I do think that some of those people were doing it for clicks.
Oh, 100%.
Really, no like, doubt. That's a terrible thing to have to think that our society were like, if I write this thing that all the girls were on there or this or whatever I write right now about the Kobe situation. Yeah. That it's going to be getting insane amount of traction.
Yeah, even if it's wrong or right.
And there was a lot of reporting that was wrong.
Yeah.
And that just, I think everybody that did that, they should take an out for that.
Yeah, it just wasn't the right thing to do, especially because like the Bryant family found out as quick as everyone else did. Like, yeah. Like it's sad to know that like, wow, I knew this before, maybe before Vanessa Bryant did.
Right.
And it's weird to think about that.
Yeah. And I know as like journalists really took that one as like, well, if I have it, I'm going to report it.
Right.
And I get that to an extent that it's not your job to let the people know, but also it would have just taken to go talk to the police and just be like, hey, does the family know yet?
Right.
Or like, And another question I had that no one could answer was like, okay, they said that it was suspected to be Kobe Bryant, but then they're reporting that, you know, it was five girls or whatever was on there. It was like, if you knew Kobe was on there, how did you not know about the other people?
Right.
Like, that didn't make any sense. That was you guys putting that out, thinking that it's Kobe. And they were right that it was Kobe, but thinking that it was Kobe and just putting it out. That very well could have not been Kobe. And this whole thing, like, imagine all of Kobe's family's hearts dropping as they saw that. And unfortunate as it is, it was true. But it could have very easily been not true just with their reporting.
Yeah.
And if any journalist is, like, listening to this, like, just make sure that what you're writing is true. It doesn't matter if it's first.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of journalists kind of get lost in that kind of, like, because they understand, like, how, internet flow works or internet traffic works. So they're just like, and some people like they're so worried about the clicks and so worried about the views that their journalism doesn't matter because they're bringing in traffic. And that's what they care about. It's the traffic.
It's a difference between journalism and ethics. Yeah. And unfortunately there's many journalists and I've worked for companies that I don't think have a ton of ethics. And that was something that like I had to get out of because it's never going to be what you're wanting to do.
Yeah, it is sad because you can see that they definitely take their job more than the ethics of like the responsibility of like people's morals.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was shitty to see, man.
Yeah, I think as a journalist, you should be morally correct, and there's a lot that aren't. And I think that just shows like kind of what our society does.
But, yeah.
But on a lighter note, I mean, Kobe made a lot of us happy, impacted a lot of us.
Yeah.
And I think that's what should be taken out of it.
I think it slowed a lot of people down too. And I was just like, damn, like this life shit just, it happens really quick.
Yeah.
And it can be done just as quick too. And, you know, it sucks that that's what it takes to bring a lot of people together. But it, I mean, it did. And it just kind of brought the world together for, I think there's still kind of like, we're still in this. But until it goes back to what, you know, it normally is, like, you just enjoy what we have right now. And it's just that. So
I think that I wrote a thing for this to say this, so I'll just put this out there. But you hit it right on the head that he stopped the world. So I put, in a time where LA was perceived as glamorous and posh, Kobe was there to defend it. His Philly grit and hard work single-handedly made LA tougher. He is the most well-known and respected Laker of all time. The best part is for decades and years and years and years, we talked about championships and legacy. But look at the legacy that he left. And he won. And we don't talk about the wins. Barely anyone cares about the amount of titles. I mean, look, we just talked. Nobody even talked about how he won 5 championships.
Right.
We didn't care. He stopped the world and made us reflect on who we are and how we can be better. I can't tell you how many people have checked up on me, sparked conversations from my posts over a basketball player's death. And none of that was about championships or wins. It was about the impact he did. That's how I know Allen Iverson's one of the GOATs. Not for his on-court success, but his impact. I think LeBron is aware of this now, which is rare to see somebody so aware of it, of their purpose in life, while they're in it. Marshawn Lynch knows this now. I think we'll see that with Kyrie and KD in the near future. I hope Giannis is seeing this. Joel, Ben, Tatum, Luka, Trey, Zion, etc. Winning is amazing, but representing something means so much more.
Oh my God. Yeah, it sucks. But, you know, like, Kobe lived a full life. He lived a fuller life than probably 99% of the people on this planet. And he was the interview I saw, he talked about how he's comfortable with death, because with death, with life comes death, with good comes happiness. And that, you know, it kind of like, it made me think, like, man, like, you know, when you're like our age in our 20s, sometimes you don't really think about death, but then sometimes you really think about death really hard.
Yeah.
And like, you're just like, I don't want to die. Like, no one wants to die young, but if you can get comfortable with it, then that changes your whole life, because you're comfortable with now living, because you know that death is going to be a part of it. And it changed the way I think about how I should live, and like how I shouldn't be afraid of death no matter when it comes. And
it genuinely was one of the craziest, like, I think it, like, it genuinely changed the world a little bit.
Oh, 100%. I can't think of another person besides like Michael Jackson that really kind of impacted the world.
Yeah, you said that, and I didn't think, because I had said to Colton that I didn't think that anyone had, I had never felt this kind of like just stopping the world type thing. And maybe Michael Jackson did, because I do remember Michael Jackson's death being very, very big. Prince's death was big.
Death was big, but I don't think it compared to MJ or even close to Kobe.
I think Kobe's is still the biggest one of my lifetime.
I think so too.
I mean, we should say, you know, we're in our early 20s. Like, another death may have changed that we weren't alive for, you know?
Yeah.
But this one hit all of us. And I think mainly it hit our generation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think our generation, we were kind of viewed as people that didn't take things seriously, or didn't view life as very serious, or we didn't like appreciate it. And like, part of it's true, but then a part of it, I think, shows that with Kobe Bryant dying, we're like, damn, like, we actually do need to appreciate life. And I feel like we kind of switched back to appreciating it more. So that's, that's awkward. Sorry.
I do want to state, like, that I don't think that any of us are trying to canonize him. I don't think that we're trying to just paint him as this perfect person. I do want to talk about the sexual allegation, but and just like not talking about much about it, just saying that I don't think it's bad to talk about.
No.
Because Kobe was okay with talking about it. I think that just on both sides, I think it's very important to talk about what actually happened. Like, it's okay to talk about.
Right.
Because Kobe talked about it. And even if he didn't talk about it, it's okay to talk about. As long as you're talking about the facts, make sure that you're just talking about what was actually reported and not begin to fabricate stuff on either side.
Yep. So, any final thoughts on Kobe?
What was your guys' favorite memory of Kobe?
Oh, man. Oh, dude. My favorite moment is when he beat the Boston Celtics and he got the ball and he fucking threw it. He just threw it. He I don't know. There was like, 5 seconds left? He got the board and fucking chucked it. And that was my favorite moment. It was like, Kobe's a fucking savage. Like, he didn't give a fuck. He just threw that shit. And, like, that was one of, like, the most, that's something as soon as he died, that's what I thought of. It was just him just throwing the ball in happiness, getting up on the announcer's angle, like, throwing up the five like this, and it like it was like, even though I didn't like him, I was like, damn, like, this son of a bitch is so fucking good. He's so fucking good.
I think that might have been my turn that I started liking Kobe and started beating the Celtics, because I hated it. As much as I didn't like the Lakers, I hated the Celtics.
I
think, and this is gonna be weird, man, but my favorite moment of Kobe is, so I remember being like super young and getting into MySpace.
Okay.
And the biggest thing on MySpace at the time was Kobe Bryant's video of jumping over the car.
Oh, yes.
And like, I just remember seeing that video, and like, ever since then, like, I'd always wanted to work on like jumping higher and like, being like faster. And Kobe used to do these cool like Facebook videos with LeBron where they would like, they were puppets and they would try and steal each other's shit. And it was like so funny. And Kobe would always make comments how he will always have more rings than LeBron. And I don't know. I just loved to have like seeing Kobe play, and he always gave me inspiration to play basketball.
Yeah, what he did with Jackass, was it Jackass
I think it was Wild Boys.
Wild Boys, and he jumped over the like snakes. Pool. I thought that was fake for the longest time. It was like, that shit was fucking real. Like, he did that shit, and that was just, that was crazy too. And like, that kind of broke me down on Kobe too. I was like, maybe he isn't like this intense guy that just is a dick all the time. Because like, when that's what I thought of him, is just, he was just like a dick that was fucking fantastic at basketball, but like, his dickness was because that he loved basketball so much that he was a competitor. So I mean,
right?
Yeah,
can't show positivity when you're competing.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, I think that he played a very good line of being like respectful off the court with the guys, but when it was on, I think a little bit more players may need a little bit more like mama mentality. I don't think it's necessarily bad to be like, no, I'm not shaking your hand during the game. Like, I'm not going to be your buddy. Like, I'm here to beat you.
For these 48 minutes.
For these 48 minutes, I hate you. And you are my arch enemy right now. And then we can go grab a beer. Like, that's totally fine.
I think also the best moment we also have to talk about is when Matt Barnes is trying to make
Kobe flinch. That was intense.
The greatest moments of basketball.
Then some people try to like discredit it and just be like, no, look at this angle. It's just like,
he blinked.
It's like, not even that. It's just, he wasn't throwing it right. I was like, bro, if a basketball is that close to my fucking face, I'm flinching.
Yeah, there was an angle. There was like a sky view angle that showed that like it wasn't as much. It's still really close to Kobe.
Yeah.
He doesn't move.
It's like, over his right shoulder instead of his face. Yeah. It's just like, I'm flinching. Like, normal person flinches.
For sure. I think my favorite, and it's tough to watch. I rewatched the entire final game. And when Kobe gets to, I think it's 58.
Yeah.
He goes over, and it's one of the most beautiful shots I've seen. And it's weird because it's a lot of his highlight reels, and it's one of his last shots ever. I think it's his like second to last shot ever. And he's just going, he gets a pick, and he just shoots it. I think he shot it over Gordon Hayward for a three. Might have actually been Alex Burke, who just got traded to Philly today. He hits it, and just, it's like, the dude is, I would have been honest, like, watching Kobe at that time, like, I guarantee you when I was watching that in real time, I was like, he's not making this. It was just like a hard three to make.
Yeah, it was tough. I remember.
Yeah, he just, it's beautiful. It goes in, and he looks over, and it's Vanessa and Gianna and all of his daughters, and he just gives them a wink right there. as he hits it, and then I think he just hits the final two free throws, and that was the game.
Yep,
man.
Also, it was hilarious to me because I don't remember Jordan Clarkson dunking for the final second. Because I was like, either. Why didn't you just throw the ball back to Kobe, Jordan? But Jordan was like, nah, I'm getting this last bucket.
So, that was us, our take on the late Kobe Bryant. And rest in peace. It's a tragedy that happened, but, you know, it changed a lot of people. So,
yeah. Like Colton said, I think it literally stopped the world for a second. And I don't know how many people's passing could actually do that.
Yeah, it's hard. And, you know what? And shame on the people that really try to discredit him on his death and be like, well, people die every day. It's like, they're absolutely not Kobe Bryant. They didn't drop 81 in the game.
And it's okay to not talk about everybody's death. I mean, if we did that, we literally couldn't talk about anything else in life.
Exactly.
It's okay to celebrate the guys that changed you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People on Facebook, especially old guys, they're just like, I don't see what's important. He put a ball in a basket. And I'm just like, no one knows who you even are. You have 63 friends on Facebook. Like,
and there's so much more that goes into sports than putting a ball in a basket or throwing a touchdown. I think Kobe literally inspired a generation by putting a ball in a basket, but by doing 1,000 other things. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So,
So what do you guys want to talk about next?
I was going to say, do you guys, you want to make this as strictly Kobe, or do you want to lighten it up a little bit? We can talk about the Super Bowl. We can talk about trades that are happening.
Well, yeah. Let's talk about the Super Bowl. Some light on
another young black man that's changing the game. Let's do it. Okay, Pat Mahomes won a fucking Super Bowl. 24 years old.
24 years old.
I'm 23. John.
I'm 23.
John's 23.
I'm about to turn 24.
Yeah. And Pat Mahomes has done so much more.
I still got 2 years to win a Super Bowl, guys.
Ben Roethlisberger won Super Bowl when he was 23. So yeah. I don't see why we're bragging about Pat. No. If you know me, there's just a few things about me, and one of them is my love of Patrick Mahomes the second.
He's a second?
Yeah, he's second.
It's not on his jersey, though.
Yeah. Why not? Put it on there.
I respect that, because a lot of guys are just like, no, you get that.
His dad played baseball, so it's just like, why would he put the second?
Because it's
still... I mean, Rey Mysterio Jr., I guess.
He didn't wear a jersey, so...
I feel like... Famously, I could look it up that he wore a jersey.
Probably wore a baseball jersey.
He's wore Real Madrid jerseys. So, there you go. But no, so the Super Bowl happened. The Chiefs won. 31-20. I predicted 31-24, so I was a little upset that the 49ers couldn't get it done for me. So it started out, first half was very, very even.
This is my Super Bowl. I get to hear about the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's my thing. If I miss a game of sports, mm-hmm. I really hate watching like the highlights.
Yeah. It didn't show the whole game.
The only thing I do that for is for Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
why are you missing the football games? What? That's my question. Why are you missing them?
They be early sometimes.
Bro, you be waking up. You gotta wake up.
Okay, that's not an excuse. At work, I go on our cable and I search Liverpool because I'm just like, I'm watching this game while I work.
You know how many Champions League games I've watched while I'm in school, supposed to be learning, and I'm just really watching Liverpool?
I probably haven't played FIFA a while.
Wow, that's messed up.
That's not good.
Anyways, so it started out. I think the Chiefs may have won the first quarter, but then the 49ers, I think, had a better second quarter. And I think overall in the first half, I think the 49ers had a little bit better of a half. As it just felt like...
It was their defense, really, to me.
It felt like the Chiefs just didn't get into their full gear. Like, it just felt like they were going on, like... You're like, oh, okay, I've seen the Chiefs go at 100 miles an hour. They're only going 60 right now.
Right, yeah.
And it just felt like, all right, are they going to go 100, or are they just going to stay at the 60?
Yeah, it was weird because Pat was missing some passes that like he doesn't usually miss, and I was just like, "What the fuck?" Like I can't remember who it was too, but he like threw way behind him, and I was just like, "Tyreek Hill." Yeah, he threw way behind him. I was just like, "This isn't Pat Mahomes. Is he choking right now?" Because that's what I thought was happening. I was like, "Pat is choking."
I don't know why you would ever believe that Pat Mahomes
because
that man is the GOAT.
It was Super Bowl, so it happens to good quarterbacks. go when they go to the Super Bowl, a lot of them choke. A lot of them do.
Yeah.
But I didn't know where this game was going to go, because they did go into halftime 10-10. And at the end of the second quarter, the 49ers had a chance to score, and they fucked it up big time. And they kind of just like gave up, really. They didn't even like try to go for it. Like, even if like Jimmy G threw a pick, it's just like, who fucking cares? Like, like fucking go for it, dude. Like, they were at least the 40. I don't know where they were exactly at on the field, but they were past midfield.
Yeah.
And they just, would they run it or kneel it? I think
they just kept running.
No, they just ran the ball, and that's it. They didn't try or
I think anything. The biggest thing, like, first quarter, what I saw, and I was like, because when I was making my prediction, I was like, look, Nick Bosa is great, but they have Eric Fisher as left tackle, former number one overall pick, and a very good tackle. And they have Mitchell Schwartz as right tackle. So either way that the 49ers line up, Bosa's got some issues. Bosa did not have issues.
Not at all, dude. It was kind of scary.
Bosa worked Eric Fisher. I think that we just have to say that. He wrecked him. He got 12 pressures in the game. And I think that they should maybe look back at the tape, because I felt like it was like 34.
Yeah, it was. It looked like Bosa was in the backfield almost every
like
day.
Every play. Like, it was insane. And Mitchell Schwartz gave up one pressure. And I think he only gave up two pressures for the entire playoffs. So shout outs to Mitchell Schwartz, because that's insane. But I was like, because Schwartz also plays left tackle, and I knew that first time in Cleveland. I was like, why are they not switching? I know that would hurt Eric Fisher's confidence, but like, you got to do what you got to do. And I would switch him, because you got to put Schwartz on Bosa. I think Bosa ate for basically the entire game. The shuffle was amazing.
Oh,
that was the Eric Bieniemy call that was inspired by the 1948 Rose Bowl from Michigan. I just thought it was like some sweet dance that they were doing at first. It was phenomenal. And I think that at the end of the first half, they finally got into the rhythm of trying to pressure Jimmy G. But I got to give it up to Jimmy G for the first half. He did really well.
Oh, yeah.
He had only missed like two passes. He was doing really, really well. And the 49ers offensive line had held up way better than the Chiefs offensive line, which I thought that the issue would be if the interior line for the Chiefs were going to struggle. Because I thought if Eric Armstead and Sheldon Day could go and pressure, then the Chiefs were done. And the interior offensive line for the Chiefs actually held up, but it was Mitchell Schwartz that had just really, really struggled. Then the third quarter happens, and Pat starts throwing some picks. And he threw that pick that he threw right to the linebacker.
Yeah.
That's the worst Pat Mahomes pass I've ever seen. That is, he legit was like, when I roll out, linebackers come down. And he was like, he just did it. And he threw it without waiting for the linebacker to come down. And that's that type of stuff that it was like, oh, no, he had nerves. He had Super Bowl nerves.
Yeah.
Because Pat would have never done that in a regular game.
Yeah.
But he had the Super Bowl nerves and had one. The third quarter was his worst quarter he's ever played in football. It was insane. And Jimmy G balled out a little bit in the third quarter.
Yeah. But John made an interesting point about the Kansas City defense. I think that they held their own. Like, absolutely. As much as, like, how many touchdowns did they have on the ground against Green Bay, which apparently had a really great defense this year? They ran all over them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did get 130 yards, but like John pointed out, they only got them off of like those like cheap kind of reverse like trick.
First, like one of the first plays the 49ers ran was like a reverse run with Debo Samuel that got like 50 yards.
Right. Yeah.
It was like,
but someone that stood out to me was Breland.
Mm-hmm.
Breland played amazing. He was everywhere on the field, and I think he kind of took that slack that everyone else besides Tyrann Mathews, mm-hmm. Matt, is that
his? Yeah, Tyrann Mathews.
Yeah. Kind of didn't really pick up, and I like that he stepped up too. And so that was my whole thing about the Chiefs defense. Like, there's, I know Tyrann Mathews was a great defender, but I did not think their secondary was as good as, especially as the 49ers when they have Richard Sherman, and he kind of got burnt.
Well, I mean, Sherm, look, there was the conversations of Sherm versus Revis all throughout Super Bowl week because Sherm was calling himself the best cornerback in the game. And I mean, like, I love Richard Sherman a lot. He was my dude. And there was a lot of people that started talking about, like, yo, Richard Sherman isn't actually as good as everyone says. And it's because he uses a lot of zone. He uses a lot of cover three. And Revis is just straight, this is my side. I will cover this guy. He won't catch a ball. Like, that was Revis in his prime. Ike Taylor was talking about how they're like, yeah, Richard Sherman's different. He was like, but every cornerback knows that Darrell Revis was better because Darrell was just a man on man. You just put this guy to the right. We're not going to worry about anything. And that's why I called it Revis Island, because there was not only another wide receiver that was in that island, but there wasn't a safety or anybody to help Revis out. It was just him.
Right.
Sherm got burnt on that play to Sammy Watkins, man. Like,
bro,
he got straight burnt.
Yeah, and people were just like, you got burnt by Sammy Watkins? First off, Sammy Watkins fast as hell.
First off, Sammy Watkins is still a good wide receiver.
He's fantastic.
Two hamstring injuries this year, though.
Yeah, he did. He did, but I mean,
he's a talented player.
Yeah. Where was he at? He was at
Buffalo?
Buffalo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People were just like, oh, Sammy Watkins is the best. I'm just like, who's throwing him the ball?
Pick coming out of Clemson, you know, when he got drafted.
It's like, who's throwing the ball at Sammy Watkins?
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
so.
Fair point.
Yeah, then like when you line up like across from Tyreek Hill, like you're going to get like you have two of the fastest wide receivers in the game. Someone's going to get open.
And you got Mecole Hardman. Like
Hardman's fast too.
Hardman's insanely fast.
It's just like a fast team.
And I was really surprised through three quarters, Travis Kelce just was not used.
Yeah.
And it really surprised me because I kept yelling at the TV screen, as I will for basically any. I really just do this with Steeler games, but I was really invested in the Chiefs winning just because I love Pat. But it didn't make sense to me as they continuously made Kelce a wide receiver, which that would make sense. But when Pat Mahomes is running for his life and Kelce is not being an effective receiver right now, why not put Kelce on the left side so that they can double team Bosa with Fisher?
It seemed like they weren't trying to double team Bosa. It was almost like whatever game what Chase Young was playing. Who were they playing against? It was either Penn State or Michigan.
It was Penn State
because they just weren't guarding him at all.
It was our final game against Wisconsin.
Oh, it was Wisconsin. Yeah. They just were just like, forget Chase Young. It doesn't matter. It's like that's what they did with Bosa. They're just like, no, he's not that good. And it's like, yeah, he's that good.
No, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He sat out a whole year, and they.
I think Nick Bosa is already in the top five pass rusher conversation in the league.
He's better than Joey, 100% better.
I think
than Joey.
So. Yeah, I think that game submitted.
I think Joey hasn't even like lived up to the hype that.
Yeah, he has. He's on the Chargers. That's the only reason why he's on the Chargers.
But he has had injuries.
Yeah.
Nick does not look like he's going to slow down.
He looked terrific.
Yeah, he was really smart sitting out that year at Ohio State. Remember, just like, oh, fuck, Nick Bosa.
He sat out a year at Ohio State to go do a year to play.
In the Super Bowl, his first year.
Yeah.
His first year.
And Matt, if they had won, that would have been.
He was 100. Like, I thought at the third quarter, well, I didn't because I kept posting that I believed in Pat. But there was a little bit of my belief that wasn't there. It was like when I said that Liverpool were going to beat Barcelona when we ended up winning 4-0. It was like, I said that. But like,
I believe it, bro. No. I felt that shit, bro. I knew it. I knew they weren't going to go down. I fucking knew it.
All right, but I did have some pessimistic mind a little bit. Like, I wasn't going to air it out, but I was like, I'm a little. When Pat threw that second interception, I was like,
dude, when he threw that, I was like, they're done. They are complete. Like, how do you come back from that?
Basically, you know, I was tweeting, wow, you guys really think it's done? And then, like, I'd get off Twitter. I'd just be like, this might be over. But I had to act like, I didn't think it was done. And if that game would have ended with the 49ers winning the Super Bowl, I think Nick Bosa would have won Super Bowl MVP. At least he should have. I don't know if they would have gave it to Jimmy. But
how could they have?
He's a quarterback.
He threw two picks.
I mean, Pat also threw two picks. He won the Super Bowl
MVP. But he also won the Super Bowl, too.
But he won the game. And that's where the fourth quarter comes in. And Pat had...
He turned into Pat Mahomes. That's really what it was. He was just like, okay, well, I have to win. Like, I can't do this.
I think Travis Kelce deserves some.
Because
he finally broke out in the fourth quarter. And it really, he did what George Kittle didn't. I was really surprised to see that George Kittle just wasn't really a factor in the game.
They did not use Sanders or Kittle
to
what they
could
have.
Well, there was like five or six plays where George Kittle is wide open. Yeah. And Jimmy is just not even looking at his direction. I think Jimmy has a really bad issue of just looking at his first read and sticking to it. And just going, okay, this is what the play is supposed to have. Why aren't you open?
That's what happens when you only throw eight times.
It's like that. It's like reading your Madden plays and you're going with the red line always.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you're going with the red line. It's like, okay, well, it's not there.
Yeah. So
I'm going to wait.
I'm not looking at any of these yellow lines. I'm looking at the red line only.
Yeah.
And I think that then Frank Clark and the rest of the defense really started to buy into, okay, Jimmy's just looking at this one side.
Yeah.
And they started to be able to rush him because Jimmy was waiting for the right pass. And that last drive that Pat does, that like I tweeted, I was like, if he does this, he's a legend. Dude, and he does it.
7 minutes. They got the ball at 7 minutes. I was just like, okay, they have 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and and if they score too quick, it's done. Like I think San Francisco can at least try to score because they have all three of their timeouts. They use that whole fucking clock.
Yeah.
They turned that 4 minute offense into 7 minute offense. Yeah. And I thought that was fantastic. I was like, dude, they scored with a minute.
Yeah, there was like a minute something left.
They chewed 6 minutes off the clock.
Yeah.
6 minutes. And like the final quarter. And they just made it seem so effortlessly. And that fucking bomb, the Tyreek Hill.
The bomb to Tyreek Hill where it's Bosa and D Ford both hitting Pat and he just chucks it right before he gets smacked. And it's just it's into two defenders, and there's just a pocket where he can get the hill, and he hits it. Like that's where legends are made.
Yeah. See, I think that's right where I woke up.
Right. Yeah, that was right around where you started.
I remember when I woke up, I looked at the clock. I was like, it's 9:30. I was like, I just missed the whole Super Bowl, and I Googled it, and I was like, no, I didn't. And then it was like the Chiefs literally just scored, and I was like, I was like, this is nuts.
You saw the best part of the Super Bowl.
You really did. Yeah. Like that. See, I
no, I didn't get to see that. The only play that I saw of the Damian Williams touchdown, I was like, this game's over. I was like, I'm not watching this. I kept it on, but I didn't watch. I was like, they won.
Casey was like, wow, Chiefs dominated. Easy win for the Chiefs.
Oh shit. I was telling John, I was like, yeah, that game was really boring.
My storyline is pretty much the Chiefs dominated the whole game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's your thought in Super Bowl. It was the exact opposite. Yeah.
I think that Damian Williams did a good job as well, too. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, they didn't have Shady in the backfield. And, like, I thought that was kind of disappointing, too. Like, he had been out, like, the last, like, four games, too. So, just, like, I thought he'd be back for this. And he kind of wasn't. And, I mean, I don't want to say, like, I like Marshawn McCoy like that. But it would have been nice to see him, like.
He got a ring, still.
Yeah, he got a ring.
He did get a ring.
So, I mean.
It's his first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was with Buffalo and Philly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yep.
And then getting to see Andy Reid celebrate his first Super Bowl. If you guys, like, I don't know if people know the story of Andy Reid and, like, the shit that he's went through. But, like, if you read on the shit.
It's going to get depressing.
Like, do you know the shit that's happened with Andy Reid?
I don't know.
I won't get into it much, but he did lose a son due to heroin overdose.
His son
was coaching with the Eagles, and like I know that that had to have like just destroyed Andy. And then I think his other son was on the coaching staff like as they won the Super Bowl.
His
other son, because he was with the Chiefs. And like Andy Reid was just that type of dude that just everybody made fun of in Philly. It was just like, oh, he can't win the big one. It was just kind of like how they kind of treated Cowher and how they treated Tony Dungy before they won the Super Bowl. So it was like, they're great and everything, but they haven't won the Super Bowl.
They're not going to win the Super Bowl.
Like, I remember listening to
Tony Dungy proved them all wrong.
I listened to the Bill Simmons podcast. Bill always makes fun of Andy Reid. And it's very similar thing to Mike Tomlin, where they're like, oh, they're not good with the clock. And so I've always had like a soft spot for Andy. And it was just like, Andy's never like been a dick. He's just always been a cool, like slightly funny guy. Like, yeah, he just reminds me of a dad.
He's a big guy too, so it's just like when a big guy wins shit, you're just like, yeah.
And he's the only coach that I've ever seen like that, like I would be like, this is the guy I would want to like treat people like my players with respect. Like,
yeah,
he's like that time last year when he sat with Patrick Mahomes at the bench and he's just talking to him. Like, I was just like, I've never seen any coach do that.
No,
like,
not a head coach either.
Yeah, not a head coach.
Like, yeah, you can see that he is a good dude.
Fun fact. He drafted Donovan McNabb.
Yep.
He signed Michael Vick to the Eagles once he was out of prison.
Good
and
for
he
him.
Drafted Pat Mahomes. He's invited to the barbecue. I can't say that, but
you can't say that.
I can't say that, but like I'd be like, if he's not going to the barbecue, y'all are fucking up. Like he's
full of culture. I think Andy Reid is the barbecue.
Fuck yeah, he is barbecuing. He's on the barbecue.
He's grilling.
Yeah, he's grilling.
And you know that motherfucker wants a burger.
You know, I did feel bad because like I wanted the Eagles to win against the Patriots.
Oh, obviously, yeah.
Just because I liked Donovan McNabb at the time way more than Tom Brady.
Of course.
And like I felt like once Andy got fired from Philly, then he went to Kansas. I was like, man, like there's not really much in Kansas right now.
I just want to stay Kansas City. You mean like Kansas City, Missouri?
Yeah, Kansas City, Missouri.
Because there may be people that mix that up. I don't know. I'm just
some people who fucking govern our fucking country.
Maybe some people. Maybe they have like complete control of our government. So maybe I don't know.
Bitch ass motherfucker.
Not for long. Not for long. It's 2020.
It's true. It's true.
Have you seen that?
I registered to vote finally, guys.
Did you really?
Really?
Hey, bro, if you need a ride, let me know. I got
you. That's actually a huge
thing. You can register to vote online.
Yeah.
If you need a ride to vote.
I can literally walk across the street.
Oh, yeah. It's at the school. Yeah. Oh, fuck. You better walk across. You better.
Yeah.
No, like, honestly, like, we've talked about a lot of deep stuff. That's the craziest thing that we've learned from this podcast. Yeah. Casey's actually registered to vote.
I like that.
I'm proud of you.
Awesome. Yeah. Who are you voting for?
I can't disclose that right now.
Why?
I don't want to put it on the podcast.
We've talked about so many things like, politically, like, and now you're like, I don't want to say who I'm going to vote for. Now I'm a little worried about who you're going to vote for.
Okay. Honestly, I'm stuck. I'm stuck between
Bernie and Yang?
It's not Bernie and Yang.
Don't you say fucking Biden.
No, it's not Biden.
Who?
It's either...
Who's voting for
Biden? It's either Bernie or Pete Buttigieg.
Who?
You don't know his name now because of the Iowa.
Buttigieg.
It's
fucking hard to pronounce.
Okay,
Pete.
I'm for Bernie or Yang.
I'm not gonna vote for Yang because it's just like it's one of those.
You don't believe it, do you?
No, I don't. Honestly,
yeah. You should. He's where Obama was when the 2008 elections were coming around. Just saying. Yeah, just so you know. Just saying. Andrew Yang is really an intelligent dude. Like,
he's an intelligent dude, but
he's young.
He's not going to push the polls, man.
Not yet?
No, not at all.
But one vote at a time changes that. The GOP just finally acknowledged him.
Yeah, but like, so here's the thing.
I think it's actually more scary when the GOP doesn't acknowledge him.
No, they didn't for a long time.
No, like that would
they,
be scary.
No, they came at him. They're just like, Andrew Yang's policies are blah, blah, blah. It's going to bankrupt America. It's like, bitch, we're already bankrupt.
I would love to vote for Andrew Yang, but I know that in the long haul, it's not going to be.
I think you should.
This is what everybody should do politically.
Just vote. I don't care who you vote for. As long as it's not Donald Trump.
I care a little bit.
Like, you gotta wait to see who's in the primaries.
Right.
Who gets in?
Well, after the primaries is a big deal because we know what happened a few years ago with the primaries. And then they're just like, yeah, we kind of lied about them. But what are you guys going to do? that was really not talked about enough story. But go to iSideWith.com. Just put in what your beliefs are. And it will tell you who you should vote for. And
the person
will probably be aligned.
I sided with the most, I guess, dropped out. Well, not I guess.
Who did you side with?
My person I sided with was from Harris. It was
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, that was who I sided with the most. Wow. And it was weird because I was like, I smoke pot because
Casey's a Republican. Wow.
She's Democratic.
Who? Yeah, I know, but it's Kamala Harris. Yeah.
What?
You're like,
that's who I sided with the most. Yeah.
96.
You know when she said when she was in college, she listened to Tupac and Biggie. She was in college before the 90s, just so you know. Yeah.
See, listen, I did with John. I think it was Kamala Harris and Bernie Sanders were the top two.
I just want to state that my first
is, and then right after that was Warren.
Yeah. It's 96 Bernie, 94 Warren, 92 Pete, 92 Tom Steer, 90 Amy. What, we're talking about the Super Bowl. I don't even know why I'm getting into this.
Anyway, yeah.
And it's getting 86.
Okay, so I don't know if a lot of people are really talking about this. across the poll. Okay. What if Pat, this is Pat's only Super Bowl.
It's not going
to
be
Pat's.
So there was a lot of Ravens fans. that were happy that Pat won because they're like, look, he can't win it every year. And it's going to be Pat versus Lamar to see how many Super Bowls they get. So, like, this was Pat year. Next year will be Lamar's.
Aaron Rodgers won Super Bowl. Drew Brees won Super Bowl.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Two Super Bowls. Peyton Manning, two Super Bowls, two different teams, though. All I'm saying is that there's only a couple quarterbacks that really have like that dynasty effect. So when we come to contract time,
Patrick Mahomes is Tom Brady.
Patrick Mahomes is better than Tom Brady.
First off, stop it.
I threw it out there.
All right, hold on. Relax. Are you giving him the max contract?
Yeah, for sure. No, look, I know what you're about to say. And Jalen Rose even posted this thing of if your quarterback makes more than 15% of your team's salary, no one's ever won a Super Bowl when your quarterback makes over 15% of the team's salary. Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl. Then he got paid.
Hasn't won a Super Bowl since. Only one?
He may have been to one. But
he's been to one, but hasn't won it.
Hasn't won it since. I get that argument, right? That just means that you need to shift your money around more because you pay that man. I would open up a checkbook, say, sign what you would like, and there you go. Now, no deal will be agreed until the new CBA is agreed because who knows? This could take a ton of money away from the players, and then if the Chiefs were sitting there with $200 million contract for Pat, and then like the second guy makes like $20 million a year.
What if we just go on a good old lockout, and it's just like we get
there
like
could be a lockout.
An eight-game season, and Pat Mahomes wins it all.
That very well could happen. That very well could happen. Which I'm kind of for an 8-game season.
I like 12. I'll take 12.
The craziest, I remember being in 8th grade and just remembering that NBA lockout and it, like the season got so shortened and I was just like,
it's like 50 games.
Yeah, I was like, this is going to be a crazy year.
It was 2K10 because 2K10 came out as David Stern as like NBA lockout edition. That
was
the,
Kobe was on that cover.
No, it was LeBron.
No, 2K10 is Kobe.
2K, oh, then it was after, it was 2K.
2K9, it was because 2K10 is Kobe. Because it was the 2K and then it was Gold 10.
Yeah, it was Gold 10, mm-hmm. You're right.
2K10 so was Kobe.
I remember 2K11. Because
it was with LeBron Jordan. James. I think the cover was LeBron
nope,
James.
Nope, it was Kobe. Because I remember.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was because that's the year they added. This. That was the year they added the
NBA lockout season was 2011.
What?
Fuck you.
What?
2011. That's for 2010 is the 2009 season and 2010 season, not 2011. Fuck you.
What do you mean? What are you trying to say?
Kobe Bryant was on the fucking cover.
Of 2K10?
He was on 2K10, but not 2K11. LeBron was.
No, he wasn't. No, Michael Jordan was.
Oh, you dumbass. Fuck. Oh, like you knew that?
Yes, I did. No, I had 2K11. 2K11's the best 2K.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It was,
yes, it is. No, it wasn't. 2K11 is the best 2K of 2K history.
It was actually 10. Then it was. No. It was 10. 2K11. It was 10. It was
2K11 11. Is the best.
Why was 2K11 the best? 2K11? Because I remember that story mode being ass.
I'm just saying. 2K11 had one of the best, like, it felt so simple. Like, nothing was, like, overdone. Like, bro, I guarantee we could go pick up 2K11 and play it again, and you'd be like, wow. I played the fuck out of 2K11. Because they used to have...
Jordan was on the cover 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they 2K12, they had, like, the legend. Like, you could go buy, like, the Larry Bird edition, the Magic Johnson edition. Dude, I know my 2K covers.
I'm just... Okay, then what was 14?
2K14, so... Oh, man, this
here.
Is hard.
Ooh!
2K14 is... Kevin Durant?
You're wrong. It's LeBron.
LeBron.
This is the cover I got confused with because it was red. Because yeah, it's LeBron.
Who's 2K16?
Hold on. What about 13? Let's do 13. Kyrie? Let's just go.
No. Kyrie was 2K18.
Relax.
You said 14?
2K16.
Oh, 16.
That's Durant's cover.
No. Yes, Durant's is 15.
No, it's not.
Bet. 2K16's when they did like the Harden, Steph Curry,
Anthony,
and Westbrook. Yeah.
Okay, you're right.
Okay,
I know my 2K cover.
What about 17?
Then proceeds to miss them all.
Who's on 17? Ooh.
I know this.
If you don't know this.
I know this.
Suck my dick. Yeah.
2K17.
Come on, bro. Come on, dude.
You guys are literally, you're looking at it on your laptop.
That's right? Not my fault.
That's not my fault.
You said, come on, dude, you don't know this.
Come on, man. I wouldn't know this. Casey, I know my 2K covers. 2K17.
2K17.
Casey doesn't know it. He knows a couple.
I swear, like, okay, you get to look at it right now. He knows two. I would know. 2K17.
Come on.
I'm waiting, man.
Come on.
Don't say come on, dog, while you're fucking looking.
You have to understand why I'm saying come on,
you're
dog.
You're giving him way too much hints, fam.
Is it Paul George?
Yes. Thank you. Jesus, he gave it to you.
That's why I was saying it.
Who's 2K3?
Allen Iverson.
Who's 2K4?
2K4, Allen Iverson.
Who's 2K5?
Allen Iverson.
Yeah, thank you.
And ask me who 2K6 was.
Who's 2K6?
Shaq.
Yeah.
2K6? Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Hold on.
2K8?
Wait, well, hold on.
2K8?
This still shows AI. I want to
see if you get this. I'm going to give you mad respect if you get this.
It's not Kevin Garnett because he's 2K9.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
See, I know that. I see. Please give me my respect. Okay. I know my 2K covers.
If you get 2K8, I'll give you your respect.
Is fuck off. Fuck. Rajon Rondo.
No. Close. He is a point guard.
No.
It's not. You know.
I'm not gonna look at you. I don't.
He's black.
It's Chris Paul. Chris Paul.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Hold on. We're just gonna go through this. What about 9?
2K. I already said Kevin Garnett.
Okay.
Yeah. 2K10's
coming. Yeah. Okay. We're good. We're done.
2K7.
2K7. I already said it's Shaq.
No.
Or no, that's Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Yep. No, it was Shaq.
What, 2K7?
It was Shaq in 2K6. Six was still AI.
No, six was Shaq.
I'm literally looking at a PlayStation 2 cover of AI.
2K6 was AI?
No, yeah, 2K6 was Shaq.
Is this a fake thing then?
2K6 is,
yeah.
Shaq back to back. Shaq to Shaq.
Yeah. Oh, this must be like a fan one.
Oh, but you did get 2K5 mixed up, which is actually very, very wrong of you to do, because 2K5 is one of the most legendary 2Ks, maybe the most legendary 2K of all time. So, 2K5? 2K5 is like the highly regarded 2K because it's so different.
Yep.
It's 2K11.
It's 2K5.
All day.
I don't think you're.
Is 2K5 the one with the why is 2K5 the most high regard?
Because you could like go into the house, like you made your own like house and stuff. Yeah, that was phenomenal. Anyways, who's on the cover 2K5?
I thought we already agreed it was Allen Iverson.
It's not. Because AI is 2K2, 2K3.
God.
2,
I know.
Or is it 2K? I think it's just 2K and then 2K. No, okay, it's 2K2, 2K3, 2K4. Yeah.
Yeah.
2K5.
It's a machine.
How about we chill?
Hold on.
No, you're going to give it away. I know you're going to say what you're about to say, and you're going to give it away.
When you want East or West? When you want East.
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 Mm-hmm.
Let me know when you want a hit, because I give it to you. And it's not a good hit. I mean, it is, but it's not.
No, if you're going
to
say that, it's a good hit.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Case. Who's on the cover that?
I just want to see if you get it.
Come on, bro.
If it's East.
All right. Give him the hit.
He's a Machine Gun Kelly line.
Yeah.
What?
He's a Machine Gun Kelly line.
Yeah.
An old Machine Gun Kelly line.
Yeah.
So this is going to test both your knowledges.
Is it Ben Wallace?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I told you he was going to get it from that.
Sweet. Okay. I'm glad he got it. All right. 2K99. Right now.
2K99? I don't think there's 2K99.
I don't think there is either.
I think it starts in...
It starts in 2K. Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
It would be 1K.
Okay.
Who's on the cover of 2K1?
2K1?
Mm-hmm.
Allen Iverson, right? I thought that's what we came to agree about.
Yeah. Okay. We're done with it. We're done with this. All right.
Who is on the cover? I can't remember the name of it. I was going to go. Remember that one that Mari Stoudemire was on? It was like the My Life thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't 2K. I don't know what it was.
It was like NBA Indian. My Life.
Is that literally what it was called? Yeah.
Or NBA like
what about how about NBA Live? How about NBA Live?
You don't care.
I can go NBA Live 08 to 10.
Okay.
NBA
okay.
Live 08 is Kobe Bryant.
Hold on. That's actually not true.
Yes, it is.
It's Gilbert Arenas.
Oh my god,
you're right. You know why? I got that.
That's when Peyton Stojakovic was fired.
The last one is Dwight Howard, because me and John used to play that one
okay.
all the time.
Six.
Was that 11?
What?
What about 6?
06 is
a 10.
Whatever the last one before they revamped it.
This is why. That makes so much sense now. My bad.
6 is... It has
you to, know this.
It's... I'm of 06?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it Kobe?
Mm-hmm.
No.
You know this.
booty hole.
Come on, bro. You've been giving these
booty hole. See? He didn't get it.
Nah, he's gonna get it in a second. He's like, oh dude.
Hey. Is it Dwayne Wade?
Yeah.
Yes, it's Dwayne Wade. Okay. Seven.
Who's on the cover of okay, hold on. NBA Live 02. If you get this, I won't need to question you at all, ever.
I don't know this one.
NBA cover, NBA Live 02.
Tim Duncan.
No.
Hold on. Who is that?
It's Steve Francis.
I don't.
Steve Francis is on the cover of 02?
If you would have gotten it, bro. Let me see. Rockets, Steve Francis.
Bro, hold on. Can you look up NBA Live for the PlayStation, bro?
Yeah.
That's the one I used to play all the time,
like,
bro.
Legit just NBA Live?
I think it's NBA. It might be NBA Live 99.
99.
It's like got a blue cover.
I played Live. Oh my god, dude.
Oh no, maybe not. Maybe I'm lying.
I played.
It's whatever one, because there used to be a mode where you could go one-on-one with Michael Jordan.
That was NBA Live.
Bro, I did not know Antoine Walker was on a cover of a video.
Yeah, see, NBA Live used to make whack covers.
Damn.
Steve Francis was on the cover. Come on, man.
I don't even know who that is.
Steve Francis. You don't know who Steve Francis is?
No.
Point guard used to play for the Knicks? Rockets?
What were the Knicks?
He did a sweet NBA Cribs. Or MTV.
Damn.
Cribs.
How does it feel that Joel Embiid's the cover of NBA Live Mobile 2016?
It feels like he's... I love him.
Kyrie is a cover of NBA Live.
Yep. No, he was also a cover of 2K too.
Yeah, it's true.
He was a joint cover.
2001 was Garnett, and I had blue on
there. I had the Cleveland edition before he went to Boston.
I got the Cleveland edition too.
This was my game.
What?
NBA Live 2003. I played this for like 6 years.
What?
Oh, NBA this is Live 2003. Yeah.
No, that's Jason Kidd, fam.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh. Mine was 2004 with Vince Carter.
I picked this, and this is when I got heavy into basketball.
Yeah.
I remember I had like all my friends pick their teams. Like I was like, you have to commit right now to a team. I remember my sister committing to the Phoenix Suns. I like tried to make her like a big Phoenix Suns fan because she was like, I like the colors purple and orange. She didn't become a, she doesn't care about basketball, but it didn't work.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I had.
Man, this looks nothing like the actual players. This is garbage.
I remember I used to like create a player on NBA Live and just like make him as tall as I could and like upped all of his stats. Like he'd have a 99 3-point and he's like seven. Yeah. I made me and I put him on the worst team. So I mean,
I remember in 2K10, that's when they didn't add the my career,
yeah,
but they added where you could do the my
player. It was my player, right?
No, it was like where you could do the my player, but you couldn't make your own player, but you could pick a player.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
I only picked Kobe.
Wow.
I only picked Kobe. Full circle. And I would only just fucking score baskets with Kobe. I would try and drop the most points I could. Until recently, bro, it was like, I would say till like 2K, up to like the 17 years of any sports game, bro. That's like till I could actually complete a sports season.
I gotta give you credit, man. There's a lot of people saying that 2K11 was the best one.
Dude, 2K11's so good. 2K11's so good.
That's what everyone's saying because of the my player.
Dude, we could, yeah, my player, dude, like.
VC wasn't a thing.
VC was not a thing. You only upgraded through just playing the game.
Right.
They had the, like, you could play moments. Like you could play Jordan's moments.
Yeah. I remember and, that. Like, it was so because Madden tried to steal that, like, a year or two later.
Yeah. And they'd had, like, all the, like, they had still, like, some of, like, the cool shit they had back in the old 2Ks.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was so fucking dope.
The most I'm seeing is 2K11, 2K16, and 2K7.
Yeah. 2K18 is regarded as the worst 2K of them all.
Really?
2K7? Yeah. 2K18. 2K7 is regarded as one of the best because
I didn't have 2K18.
Really?
That was one that you had. You had Kyrie. That was a Kyrie cover, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't buy it.
Oh.
My heart hadn't healed.
Oh, I bought it before. Or no, it happened after, didn't it?
No, there was editions with Kyrie,
Cavs,
because it happened like right as 2K came.
Yeah,
out.
I like took a picture of it because I thought.
I don't
it was
think
so important.
2K will be top tier 2K until they get rid of Ronnie 2K.
Yeah, Ew. That's true.
He just
it sucks, dude.
He doesn't. He talks like he knows so much about basketball, but he doesn't. Like I thought I was so in love with this 2K until I realized like
it was bad.
All the bullshit that they were doing, like bro, like it even like you had to hit green lights for you to make a shot in a park game, and it's just like. Why should I have to hit a green shot in every shot I do. Like, why should every shot be perfect time? Like, how is any casual, like, how is any 10-year-old supposed, like, how are you going to have any 10-year-old want to play your game?
That's a good point.
It was super buggy, too. Like, there's a video, like, the other day on, like recently of, like, 2K where, like, he picked Giannis and bro looked like he was super deformed and the other player you couldn't even see.
Yeah, dude, there used to be this glitch where I couldn't play my game because what happened is I would sub in, I would jump in a game and it would be jump ball and I'd have four players and my fifth player was invisible. And I was just like, oh, that's awesome. I was like, 2K added this new invisible player. It'd usually be my small forward too.
Do we have any more 2K talk? You guys want to talk about real life trade deadline stuff?
Let's talk about trade deadlines.
I feel like we didn't finish the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I feel like we cut.
I mean, if you got something else to say, I just want you to say saw, my like, love for Pat and Andy Reid, and I was super happy.
So you saw 5 minutes of it.
I'm just going to recap this NFL season.
Okay.
Good point.
So we have the two dominant teams, obviously. Sure. 49ers, more dominant team than
question.
Chiefs were.
I have a question, though.
In the regular season.
That's what I'm saying. Are the 49ers really as good as that we think they were? Or were they just really right now?
The 49ers are as good as we think they are. Jimmy Garoppolo is not as good as we think he is.
Cool. I like that.
Where do you guys put Jimmy? Always have these conversations.
He's not, Jimmy G like, is top 10.
He's a top 15.
Top 10.
What tier are we putting him at? Like, if you're doing like a tier breakers, maybe we should make a video on this like to like actually make tier breakers for the quarterbacks. Where is he around? Like, name like a quarterback.
Ryan Tannehill.
You think he's Tannehill level?
Yeah, because like if
Tennessee
you put,
Tannehill?
Tennessee,
or Miami Tannehill?
Tennessee Tannehill. Okay.
I can't agree with that because Tannehill showed up in crucial moments. I think that
we just covered for a second the big gigantic miss that Jimmy had for Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh yeah, that was one thing we didn't talk about.
That was the truly like he choked.
If Roethlisberger throws that ball, even now, not regarding his surgery, I think he hits that.
Oh, for sure.
Roethlisberger hits that, which is crazy to think about. It's like, damn, like Roethlisberger would have hit that.
Yeah, he wasn't looking for Sanders. He wasn't looking for Debo. He wasn't looking for Kittle.
But they also had two timeouts when that play happened. You know that?
Yeah.
So they also, I also don't think that their game plan was also that great. You had three timeouts with a minute something left, and they were bombing it downfield. It's just like little post route to the fucking the out of bounds. Get that. Like they were trying to get it all in one play, and they had 3 or 4 minutes worth of plays that they could have ran, and they just didn't do it. And like they didn't get Kittle involved really that much at the end. And I think at the end, like they didn't have to go to Sanders, but that whole play is desperation, really.
Here's my thing. I think throughout the season, Jimmy Garoppolo had a couple of games. But
that Saints one in particular.
Yeah.
I stopped criticizing.
Yeah. Where he was just, he threw the ball.
Yeah.
But they were like, what game? I think it was against the last game against Green Bay. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to throw. He threw like five passes.
He threw eight times.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, well, you can't really call Jimmy Garoppolo a good quarterback if he's not having to throw the ball. He's just handing the ball. He's just a set piece. Really, you have to look at Raheem Mostert or the whole entire offensive line.
I think
line.
The offensive line doesn't get credit.
They have one of the best offensive lines in the game. I think that's what makes Jimmy – but, like, even with that offensive line, Jimmy Garoppolo never made it look useful. I think he never looked – he's not a fun quarterback to watch. He's not an exciting playmaker. He doesn't know how to read the checkdowns. And I don't think he's as good as a franchise quarterback as everybody wants to make him to be. I think he's a little bit funnier outside of the whole football when he flirted with Aaron Andrews. Everybody's like, oh, that's so cool. But like, I forget what he said, but he tried to shoot a shot with Aaron Andrews. But
he said something about their record, baby. He's like 11-0, baby, or something. Like that. People thought that he was shooting a shot, but he was like, I was just excited that we were the blah blah blah.
So my question is: so then you still have him top 15 because you have a lot of criticism for him.
Yeah, but I just, you have to. Here's the thing. Like it I think he. I'm sick, dude. Don't look at me. Why my voice is cracking? Okay, I'm getting over this shit. I think he could literally be 15. He could literally touch 15.
You know,
we could sit here and do a top 30. I would do that right now.
Okay, is he better than Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would take him over Kirk Cousins.
So you're taking Jimmy G over Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
Okay, are you going to take him over Philip Rivers?
Yeah.
Jameis Winston?
Yeah.
Sam Darnold?
No.
Okay, so...
Whoa, what?
In the long haul, no. I would not take... I think Sam Darnold has hope, but...
I think Sam Darnold
is on a shitty team.
I think that he has a bad coach, and I usually won't like go as like.
Oh my god! Oh my god! I did not even think of Adam Gase being the coach of the Jets.
And Adam Gase is supposed to be an offensive guy, and that Jets offense in every category was either worst or like third to worst. And they had Sam Darnold, and I know Sam Darnold had mono, but Sam Darnold and Le'Veon. I wasn't like
so does Casey too, obviously. So
for real, so obviously you have like Pat. You have
Patrick, Lamar.
You have Lamar. You have Deshaun. You have Russ.
Yeah.
I think that right now is the top four.
I think
Tom I would take him over Jacoby Brissett.
I think Tom. That's sure, fair. Sure. Yeah. I mean, but sure. No one said Jacoby was top 10 unless. Didn't you say Jacoby was top 10?
In the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You were feeling it.
I was feeling it. But as a fan, you do that.
I don't do that. Okay, that's a lie. You
100% do that.
I definitely did that. Well, it was before the year started.
It was last year. You were like, Big Ben is a top five quarterback, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe you dropped the top five.
Because we were arguing top 10. He's still top 10. You said top five.
He's still top 10.
Jameis Winston threw 30 for 30 this year. And he's that's balling. Pretty much what Ben did.
He's last balling. Year. No, he did not.
He threw like 5,000 yards and like
he was a pre 30. Ben Roethlisberger's last season died so that Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston would kiss a picture of Ben every night.
Wow. Like, I don't like you guys.
Okay,
like that.
So my question is: all right, so you guys, you got like Pat, Lamar, Deshaun, Russ, Aaron, Brady. Then we start to get to like Dak.
Yeah,
you put Dak over.
Yeah.
Jimmy. Stafford.
I'm going to argue about that.
What?
I would put Stafford
over him.
While we're on the podcast?
I'm eating a
cough drop. I remember one time I chewed gum the entire podcast and I heard it.
It was only like the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, then I think John looked at me and was just like.
Well, that's because I had headphones on so I could hear it. And I thought there was something messed up. This is while we were recording at Ohio State.
Would you guys rather me eat this lozenge or fucking cough into the mic?
I mean, I get it. I
want you to be healthy. That's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't put Dak in like.
Why not,
bro? He had Amari Cooper and Zeke. I know Zeke is like not the greatest like catching back, but it still takes a lot of pressure off you. And I feel like if you have Zeke, Amari Cooper, who is their other wide receiver? Exactly. Michael Gallup. Fuck off.
He's not that great.
Then you have Jason. Yes, he is. He's really good. When you have Dak Prescott as a quarterback. Pretty good, but you still have Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper made Dak Prescott look really good. That's what I'm saying. Dak had one good year, and this was
Dak's best year that he's looked the best.
They also have a good defense too that he still can't capitalize off of. I'm not saying Dak isn't good, but I'm not saying he's elite.
Let's see how he looks without Jason Garrett.
Okay,
that's fair.
So I'm interested to hear where you guys kind of have Jimmy G, and then I'll kind of let you know where I kind of put Jimmy G. So. Pat, Lamar, Deshaun, Russ, Aaron, Brady. That's where we're stopping it as like, because then Colton is disagreeing with Dak. So Colton puts Jimmy over Dak, right?
No. I'm putting a lot of other quarterbacks over
He just Dak. Said Dak is over Jimmy, and he just said, I got to argue against that.
Well, I mean, depending on where Dak is on the list, I don't want to put Dak right there.
No, I wasn't putting Dak. Oh, like, I'm not ordering this the way that it was. Okay. I just
we're
just
what about Drew Brees? Drew Brees is there.
For sure. So like, did I not say Brees?
No, you didn't. My bad. Brees is after Brady just because of just, I mean.
I'd actually put Brees over Brady.
Okay.
In terms of this.
Well, if we put Brees on the Patriots right now. And
they do better than what Tom did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you put, and you put Tom on the Saints and he has Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara. You think that he doesn't win a Super Bowl? I think he wins a Super Bowl. I think he does. If he has Michael Thomas and Alvin.
No, I don't think so. I think the game happens the same way that it did in Minnesota.
Who does Tom have?
Tom has no one.
Yeah. And he goes and gets Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara as his running back and his wide receiver.
Yeah. Drew Brees had them and didn't do it. That's what I'm saying.
Tom Brady had old ass Julian Edelman. And that's it.
Yeah. That's his man.
Yeah. No,
he's
not,
old.
I'm not saying that Brady had any weapons. I'm just saying if that's what I'm saying is as good as the Saints were, they even had Drew Brees and couldn't get there. So that's why I'm saying like
okay.
With Brady, I genuinely think it's probably the same exact result. So I'm not saying that they lose in another round.
Brady had a way better defense than the Saints did.
That's also true. That's also very true.
Okay.
For the first like 10 weeks, he had the best defense.
Yeah, but they had played nobody, and then that defense, they were like, it's historically the best defense of all time. Pittsburgh's defense was better. Just want to state that.
Pittsburgh's defense came out.
Fuck yeah, baby.
So
right okay. next to 49.
Okay, so we all put Breeze over Jimmy G, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dak.
Yes. No, I can't do it.
You literally just said, no, I do think that Dak is better than Jimmy G, and
but,
now you're arguing against it.
But
what
I don't,
is your dilemma right now with Dak Prescott?
I would put some.
Okay, all right, so you're saying no. You're saying no on Dak.
Who else? I feel like there's more quarterbacks.
Dak Prescott could have won that Super Bowl for the 49ers.
I'm putting Dak over Jimmy, personally.
Okay, whatever.
That's eight for me.
I will agree to disagree.
Okay, but that's seven for you. That's okay. All. Stafford.
I would put Stafford over Dak. That's okay.
Stafford over Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, I think so.
Matt Ryan.
Yes.
Because this is where I start to think that this is Jimmy G territory.
No, I don't think so.
I think Matt Ryan's better.
I
put Matt over Jimmy.
I don't think so.
At the moment.
Jimmy G has Julio Jones. Different story.
Okay.
Matt Ryan has had Jimmy. Matt Ryan had Julio Jones, and they barely got him the football this year, which kind of upset me a lot.
I think you are talking. You're thinking about everybody else's weapons, and you're not talking about the fact that
he has
terrific defense.
Yeah, but
like and a terrific line.
Like now we're talking about like okay, but what if Matt Stafford had?
Okay, Bosa, yeah, you're right. Defense, you're right. Okay, you know? Okay, you're right.
He had George Kittle.
Thank you for that. George one. Kittle. Okay, yeah, he did have George Kittle. Yeah. Okay, okay.
Baker Mayfield.
Fuck no.
No. I would take Jimmy G over Baker Mayfield.
100%.
Give me Baker.
Okay, I see where you're coming from because Baker did have a good freshman year.
I think Kitchens kind of ruined it.
Yeah,
I think
so too.
Okay, okay, sure.
Carson Wentz.
No.
I'm taking Carson Wentz all day over Jimmy G. As long as he can stay healthy. This is projecting that everybody's healthy.
Okay, okay.
Kirk Cousins.
Yes. Yes.
I would take Jimmy G over Kirk Cousins.
Okay, so you're saying you're stopping it. Derek Carr.
Yes,
no.
I would take Jimmy G over Kirk Cousins.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
You mean Jimmy G over Derek Carr?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
You're taking
Jimmy G.
Ryan Tannehill.
Jimmy G.
Ryan Tannehill.
This is close. This is Jimmy G's first year proving it.
Is it though? He had a chance with the Patriots to do that.
Shut up.
He did. What are you talking about? He had almost a whole year to do that, and you're saying that he couldn't do it then? That's not. This is not his first year to prove it. It's really not.
It really is.
So wait, did you guys both
as a leader? Yes.
That you're taking Wentz over Jimmy?
No. I'm taking Wentz.
So right now we can agree on that you're taking 13 quarterbacks over Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
So Jimmy G right now would be 14th. Is there another quarterback that you guys would take over him? Sam Darnold?
Cam Newton enters the chat.
Cam Newton.
I'm taking Cam over Jimmy G.
Okay.
I really am.
Okay.
A healthy Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Okay.
With some weapons. I am doing that.
Okay, so now I want to talk about some like Kyler Murray, some younger quarterbacks.
Yeah,
you're taking Kyler.
I think Kyler Murray succeeds more in the San Francisco offense because of the protection he has and the weapons he has. Yeah.
Okay, so what about Dwayne Haskins?
That he's only played a couple of games. I don't want to say anything about that.
Drew Lock.
Same thing. He showed promise. Raps Young Jeezy. Don't know.
Okay, so I'm just going to start rattling off the rest of the quarterbacks. Let me know if you guys would take anybody over, or if you would take Jimmy G. If you guys would take any of these guys over Jimmy G.
Okay.
Gardner Minshew, Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton, Daniel Jones, Josh Allen, Mitchell Trubisky.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
That's...
Yep, I'm doing it.
We did see that game against Houston.
He looked like dog shit in that game.
He did, but...
Okay.
Yeah. I'm still doing that.
So, okay. Sam Darnold?
Casey? I said I would take Sam Darnold over. I said in the long run.
No, we were talking about like this next year.
Next year, one season. I'm taking Josh Allen. I'm taking Sam. Okay. So are we just plugging these like quarterbacks in into like San Francisco's offense, or is
This is just who would you rather have a quarterback to build around,
bro?
But for 1 year.
Okay. Can we put?
They're not Sam Darnold.
Yeah, can we put Andrew Luck in there though too?
No, he's retired.
I know he retired, but I mean he's still retired this year.
No. He's gone. We have to. Casey's here. Why haven't you?
Huh?
Jacoby Brissett.
No.
You know how much I've dealt with in the Colts. First, fucking Peyton Manning retired.
I don't want to hear it.
Fucking
dog.
The neck injury in 2011.
My quarterback has allegedly raped two people. Whoa. I don't want to hear shit. Fuck off.
Whoa, what do you mean?
What are you talking? He's had two rape charges.
But like, what did you mean by like?
That hurts. When you have a good quarterback and he just fucking raping people, that sucks. No,
we don't know this, so like, let's just say allegedly.
I said allegedly raped two people. That and he got in a fucking motorcycle accident.
We still have him.
Do we?
Yeah.
Really?
For three more years.
It's only two.
Do you guys take Jacoby Brissett?
No.
And by the way, I don't want to hear it because like you have Peyton Manning and then, oh no, I had to deal with 1 year of Curtis Painter and then get Andrew Luck. And now you're like, oh no, I had to deal with a year of Jacoby Brissett and they're going to get Jordan Love.
Maybe.
You're getting Jordan Love. It's going to happen. 13th pick.
What if he's a bust?
Listen. Remember when I said that.
What's today's date?
Remember this. February 6th.
February 6th, John. Predicts Jordan Love is going to be a good quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, and he's going to take them to the playoffs and win the Super Bowl.
Okay. Don't know about Super Bowl, but I will say playoffs. I will confidently say playoffs.
Okay, I'll take playoffs. Yeah. I'll take
Case Keenum.
No.
Okay.
No.
Mason Rudolph. I couldn't even say that with a straight face. Kyle Allen.
No.
Cool
boy. Oh. Phillip.
No. No.
I'm not taking Phillip over Jimmy. No way.
Listen to this.
Okay.
Phillip has been loyal to the Chargers, and just recently he really he had LaDainian Thomas and fuck that guy. Nope. He's done. Nope.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't know if I do.
How do you go 5-0 and just be like, oh no, he's
not. Offense is really good.
He was good with the Vikings too.
Yes,
he was. Good. He blew his knee out two times. I think
Jacoby was always Teddy was always in that like top 15 discussion. So now we're having that similar discussion with Jimmy.
I think he is.
So you guys are taking Teddy.
Yes.
Teddy Shitwater.
And would you guys take Ben Roethlisberger?
Yes.
Or Jimmy?
No.
You're dumb. You're an idiot.
No. Really?
You're an idiot.
No. Really?
No. You're an idiot.
You genuinely wouldn't?
No.
I've been the biggest critic. I'm taking Ben Roethlisberger over Jimmy Garoppolo. For a year. For future.
If you put Ross...
He's like 300 pounds right now. So no.
If you put him in that Super Bowl...
I think it makes him better.
He wins. Yeah. People bounce right off of him.
Yeah.
Joey Bosa rats around
He's
him.
Like Bubble
slips
Boy.
On some chicken grease. Done.
So right now... There's 19 quarterbacks that we would take over Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, give or take a few because, like,
right.
Casey wouldn't take Ben. Colton wouldn't take Dak. Did you say, and then Colton also had Josh. So, really, we're about at 17 is where Jimmy's at.
For 32 teams in the NFL, he's in the middle of the road.
Yeah. He is a, right now, middle of the road.
Do you think that, like, him not taking as many, like, attempts kind of affects him as a quarterback?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, because, like, that's what I think, like, when you're just like, he only passed 8 times in the NFC Championship, like, he's going to be rusty.
Yeah.
Like, there's another week before this whole Super Bowl. Like, they do the Pro Bowl. So,
Jimmy G's like, I didn't have to throw the ball last game.
I think that there's, like, a thing of being, like, you can get prepared, you can really know the playbook and everything and be, do great in practice. And then you just get thrown into the game and it's just different. And you have to have that game time. You have to have those defensive linemen are not going to go as hard as the opposing team's defensive linemen. They're going to try to take you out of the game. Mm-hmm. The other team doesn't want to lose their quarterback. So when you're actually going up against those guys and so many different defenses that you can't really scout for until you're actually in the game, Jimmy has to have those reps. And I don't think he did in the playoffs.
Yeah. Jimmy G's not a...
So what else would you guys like to say about the season that happened? This was the season of Lamar. In the playoffs, it became the season of Pat. I want to look at both of you guys and talk about that you guys had Lamar over Pat in a future of just who's the best quarterback. And I just want to see if you guys still like that.
I have a question. How real did you think that Mike Vrabel tattoo was? Because it was pretty real for a second.
I thought... There's a chance they beat the Patriots, but probably not. So this would be a fun thing to do to get me invested into the Patriots-Titans game. Because I don't know. It was just a funny thing that I just kind of did on the fly. And then if the people don't know, I said that if the Titans would win the Super Bowl, I would get a Mike Vrabel tattoo because I have a weird beef with Mike Vrabel.
He didn't pan out in Kansas City.
He was rude to me after a Ohio State game, and I yelled at him, "That's why you didn't pan out in Kansas City." And now Kansas City won. But so then Baltimore, I thought there was zero chance that they'd beat Baltimore. Genuinely thought there was zero chance.
They did.
So once they beat Baltimore, I started sweating. And then they were up like, boy, it was like 10-0 on the Chiefs. It might have been more. I was like, this might be it. This might be it. And Pat.
I think for the whole season, my happiness relied in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. When Roethlisberger went out, it's the second game, I was like, we're going 2-14.
Yeah.
We're going 2-14. We went 8-8. And that's all I could really ask for. Mike Tomlin showed what kind of a great coach he was, and it shut all of the fucking yinzers up. Fuck these dumbass white blue collared yinzers that want to say that Mike Tomlin
blue collared.
No, that's what blue collar. I mean, yeah, right. Regardless, they wanted to say that Tomlin's a terrible coach. But when you have almost next to nothing on offense and you still win 8 games, that's a win to me. And I think that we should extend them for at least 5 years. At least.
Here's how I feel about this season.
Let's hear about this.
This season was great for the NFL. For fantasy football, hated it.
No, you did really well.
No, I hated it.
Okay,
I hated it.
But listen, the biggest thing happened before the season started for you.
The season
started with Andrew Luck retiring.
Yeah. It was heartbreaking. Learned that at a Walmart. Some dude texted me, bro. And I was like, I'm about to have to fight this dude because I don't even fucking talk to you that much. He's like, what the fuck? And I was like, what the fuck do you mean, what the fuck, bro? And he's like, Andrew Luck.
This sounds like a wise conversation.
I know.
What the fuck, bro?
I just learned Andrew Luck retired.
I was at Breakaway when I found that out.
I think I was just sitting at home.
And then, John sent me a wild trade for Deshaun Watson for Lamar Jackson. And I was like, and Le'Veon Bell. He had Le'Veon Bell in that trade. And I did it. It was the greatest trade of my life.
You mean I got Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to state, even though like people are like, wow, that's a really dumb decision, they don't know my love for Le'Veon Bell. Anyways, I'll do it again.
NFL season was amazing. Lamar Jackson was crazy.
You really just skipped over that Andrew Luck stuff. You were like, John.
Yeah. What is it?
Fantasy football. Are you okay?
I'm all right. It sucks. I'm used to this.
You
know what I did for my 8th grade art project?
What?
I made a poster about the Colts. And you know what I had to put up there?
What?
2-14. I had to put 2-14.
I don't want to hear this. I'm not sad that you had 1-14 season after 10 years of Peyton Manning. And then you get 7 years of Andrew Luck. You get greatness.
We didn't get healthy Andrew Luck all the time.
Yeah.
You know how we didn't get that good of Andrew Luck all until recent. Until recent. And then you know what happens when he has one of the best seasons he's had of his life? He's like, sorry, dude, I'm gonna retire. Fuck you. But yeah, it was great. And then losing out to in fantasy football was the worst.
That's really the worst thing I've happened to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to go outside more.
No, I don't.
What my season was is I think that there was this almost civil war going on in Pittsburgh with how people wanted Mike Tomlin gone. It was a fuck Le'Veon Bell type thing to a lot of people, and I hated it. And I was certainly defending Le'Veon. I was certainly defending Mike Tomlin, and I would take this year. I was a big criticizer of Ben Roethlisberger. I think I actually have to eat a little bit of my words with Ben, because then we had a quarterback, and look, we may have had the two worst quarterbacks in the NFL suiting up for us, but we seen how bad our offense would actually be without Ben. I think that if we could get if we had an Alex Smith out there, we would have made the playoffs, but we had just trash quarterbacks. I'm sorry to say it, but Mason Rudolph and Doug Hodges were trash.
Yeah, and we don't want, and as much as like we want another quarterback, Kevin Colbert says we're not interested in another quarterback.
Yeah,
we're good with what's behind Ben.
That's scary.
Yeah, he said that. He said
I hope that is not what their plans are. I hope that we sign a veteran. Possibly. But look, I can't criticize Kevin Colbert right now, because once Ben went down, I was actually excited. Not that I was excited that he got hurt, but I was excited that we could have
a little bit, because
we remember when we did the NFL podcast, and I was crying beforehand. I was like, please don't draft Mason Rudolph. Don't draft Mason Rudolph. I was very sad about that. I did not believe in Mason Rudolph. I mean, there's a whole video on me not believing in Mason Rudolph.
I wonder why we shouldn't believe in Mason Rudolph.
He's not a good quarterback. That's the reason. That's the full reason.
He'll never be the same.
But, well, then that happened, right? This season, actually, Pittsburgh got a lot of headlines, which is weird. But, so then Ben goes down, and I was like, this is our chance to rebuild. It was a tank for Tua, which was hilarious, because think about that. I was like, tank for Tua. And then I was like, well, I mean, like, let's not try to go in the second or third round and try to get someone like Joe Burrow. And then Joe Burrow ends up having the greatest college football season of all time. And now he's clearly the number one pick. That shows you how much can change in the college football season. But so I wanted to rebuild. And then we get Minka. And then I was like, oh boy, this is the gutsiest, riskiest trade I can remember. Because we had our chance to rebuild and we decided not to. And we got this dude who completely changed our secondary. And revolutionized it. I think that he should have been second in defensive player of the year, only behind TJ Watt. And really tough for me to get behind this whole Stephon Gilmore thing. But I would take this season with all this stuff, because now the Pittsburgh fan base is supporting Tomlin. They want Lev back, which I really hope we get Lev back. And there's a real chance that we get Lev back.
No.
There's a chance that we get left. Look, we tried to trade for him at the NFL trade deadline. So, like, there's a chance. Let me believe, guys. And I think the culture in Pittsburgh is a lot better. And maybe that was losing Antonio Brown as well helped that. So I think the culture now, and I think that Ben needed to be called out, and he was finally called out. And now I think it's changed him as a person. It seems like he is a lot better teammate. So I would take this year from hell, which it was supposed to be the season for hell. It was supposed to be the 2-14 season the Colts had. And some way Mike Tomlin dragged that lifeless season's body to 8-8. Him, Minka, TJ, Deontay Johnson a little bit, Cam Hayward, Javon Hargrave, Devin Bush, Joe Hayden, Steven Nelson.
I think we re-signed Hargrave. Don't resign Bud Dupree.
I think we're going to end up signing Bud. I don't think that we sign Hargrave. Well, I can't be mad at either one. I mean, Bud did have a good season. I'm just worried that this was a contract year season, and then it's not. If this is what Bud does, I'm not too sad. But, I mean,
stats show that Hargrave had better impact.
It's true. Hargrave had almost the same amount of pressures, which is insane when he's an interior defensive lineman, and then Bud Dupree's a pass rusher. I agree. I would probably prefer Hargrave.
But what if we sign them both? For the low.
That's sign me up for that all day, every day. Love that. Love to see it. absolutely love to see it. But I would take this season from whatever it is to have this culture back, and I think the Steelers' culture now is good. And that's why we have a decent run. I don't think we're going to have a Super Bowl run because, look, we have to deal with the AFC, and that AFC contains Lamar Jackson. That AFC contains Pat Mahomes, the greatest quarterback of all time. That contains Deshaun Watson. All right, we got our work cut out for us. But we have a great defense, and I'm just happy that the culture is different. And this is, like...
Is it because AB's on?
It's a little bit, but I don't. I think that, like...
Well, what... I mean, like, that's the big guy. I mean, that was a big piece that...
It, like, was a big piece, yeah. But I don't think it was everything. I think, like... Ben needed to be called out. I think even as much as I love Tomlin is my guy, I think that there was people that showed that he had favoritism towards guys like Ben, and he needs to pull that back a little bit and not have as much favoritism. I think Tomlin's the first person to admit that he has favoritism. So maybe not give the quarterback all the power. Maybe make sure that the leaders that are on your team are leaders not because of their experience in the game, it's because they're actual leaders. It's their mentality, instead of just having them because, hey, well, they have a championship ring, so they're obviously a leader. Guys like Cam Hayward, those are leaders. And TJ Watt, he's becoming a leader. Mm-hmm. So it's weird to say, but, like, kind of love this season because how it changed Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think... As much as, like, we weren't so successful as, like, other teams, I think we were successful within, really.
I think that that's where people will say, like, oh, Pittsburgh had an 8-8 season. Like, they had to deal with a lot. It wasn't all that great. Like, I don't think that they understand all the stuff that Pittsburgh was dealing with.
Yeah.
And, like, just to, like, gut everything out. Like, it feels like we just, like, removed all the poison.
Yeah.
And now we can – now this is, like – it's almost like rebuilding without actually having to suck.
Yeah.
We still need to get a quarterback, and that will hopefully be in 2021.
Probably will.
I just trade the team, I guess, to get Trevor Lawrence. But I've now stopped thinking about Trevor Lawrence and stopped thinking about Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. And now this year for college football, other than just rooting for my Buckeyes and watching Trevor Lawrence just be phenomenal, is going to be about Georgia and Jamie Newman, who is the quarterback there, who was playing at, I believe, Wake Forest last year. So now I'm going to watch him to see maybe he's the shot that we actually have for a quarterback.
Hmm. Okay. So cool.
Check out Jamie Newman.
Well, we're coming around 2 hours on this podcast. Anyone have any kind of closing thoughts or anything about this? Kobe, Super Bowl, anything. Anything you have to say about anything?
Fuck AB.
Huh?
Fuck AB.
Yeah, it is. Wow. It's fuck AB, but
it's not even fuck AB, man. It's like I'm worried about AB.
Oh yeah,
like, I hope he gets better.
Yeah, but I have one thing to say. I said we conquered all of Europe, and we're never. I don't know the rest.
Where did we get into Liverpool?
What? They're having a fucking fantastic season.
For sure. One of the best sports seasons
ever.
Ever.
And we're alive during that time. And for
it's insane to be rooting for them.
For right some, now. Yeah, exactly. For someone that's like, I'm really new to soccer. And like, I picked Liverpool just off of John's intuition because I trusted him. And I know that's not something, but when you like Pittsburgh, you have to trust a guy that likes Pittsburgh. So I want to do that.
So why aren't you a Philadelphia 76ers fan?
Huh? Because I don't like you that much. That's, so
it stops at basketball.
Okay, yeah. Basketball, no. But when it comes to like...
WNBA, you going to root for Seattle Storm?
Yeah, I will.
Shout out to Sue.
But I think we're witnessing one of the best soccer teams ever.
Yeah.
Ever right now. And a lot of people are just like, fuck them. They're not that good. And VR is on their side. Like, dude, they're dominating. They're dominating.
Even if we didn't have... the VAR decisions and VAR was just taken out, we would still have like an insane like 18-point lead. It's like we're having the most dominant season. I mean, it's easy for us to say the most dominant season we've ever seen. We've been fans for at most 6 years.
Right.
Yeah. 5-6 years.
Yeah.
But this is historically one of the greatest seasons in soccer history.
Yep.
And it feels good because when we came in, like I came in and we were using Ricky Lambert, man. We had Lucas Leiva.
Wasn't Sacco like one of our center backs?
I just got him in my FIFA season. I love Sacco. I love Mamadou.
He's top 5 strongest players in the game.
Is it really?
Yep.
Shout out to Mamadou. I love Mamadou. who else did we have that was just like random?
Benintelli. We did have Benintelli.
Yeah, well, Ballo actually helped get me into the team. Like, we got him. I was a fan before we got him, but that was like one of those. I was like, I knew it. I knew I picked this team for a reason. And Balotelli did not.
He scored one goal for the team.
He scored two. So let's put some respect on Mario Balotelli's name. And I remember, like, it was, it just made sense. Like, it just made, because like the fans were excited. It was just like most fans would have just like cried about it. Maybe we should have, because he wasn't very good, but like it just made sense that the fans and the people and the culture loved him. We also had fucking Glenn Johnson.
Yeah.
Me and Case were just talking about Glenn Johnson the other day. I was not a fan of Glenn Johnson. Martin Skrtel, Daniel Agger.
Yeah, we had Skrtel too.
I loved Skrtel.
Skrtel.
And now we got the best Virgil team in the world.
Best team ever. I think so. Best team ever.
It's hard for me to say the best team ever.
Bitch, because, we beat Barcelona.
Because 4-0. I haven't watched as much, right?
That's all I'm saying.
But, I mean, historically, it's one of the best seasons ever.
The only thing, I think the most memorable thing about this Liverpool team is that Barcelona win.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That Barcelona win. That's going
to
be one
of the most iconic things to ever happen in football history.
That shirt kick?
Dude, that, you know what that did? That etched, like, you know how, like, you just, like, I was like, oh, I kind of watch them just because, like, I think they're nice. But, like, that etched their place in my heart as, like, a team that I'll follow forever.
I've had, I think, three real instances of that with Liverpool already. First one was the Glenn Johnson header where he busts his head open, winning the game against Stoke, I believe. It was Stoke or Sunderland, one of those. Because I remember my ex-girlfriend talking to me. It was me, Casey, and my ex-girlfriend sitting in the room, and they had just went down. And she looked at me and she said, "So you really picked this team? Are you sure you made the right decision?" And then it was almost like it was a movie. It was like instantly, boom, snap, Glenn Johnson goal. And I just looked at her. I was like, yes, I did. And then it was the Dortmund game in the Europa League just a few years back. It was like the 5-4 with Dejan Lovren winning the game with a header against Dortmund. That was like, I fell down my stairs celebrating. Thought I broke everything. I was fine. And then the Barcelona game. It's just insane.
Yeah. About seals everything up for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Why you love them.
Yep.
Greatest team in the nation.
Yep.
I love
them. So I think we're coming to an end because we're almost at like 2 hours. I just hope everyone just knows that you're important to this world. Have that Mamba mentality. Go after whatever you love. And, keep it across the board, man. Just do whatever you do. Do what you love. So,
hell yeah.
Sign out.
Deuces.